You are listening to the Passion City Church DC podcast. To learn more about Passion City Church, including our gathering times in Atlanta and Washington, D.C., visit us online at PassionCityChurch.com.
I have an assignment today from God, but also from Pastor Ben. He gave me a specific passage of scripture to preach on in 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm continuing this three-year journey that you're on through 1 Peter. But we'll jump in chapter 5, verse 1. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who will also share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourself to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. And Ben asked me to preach on this, which I'm really grateful for. It's been encouraging to me. He asked me to focus specifically on verse 5. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourself to your elders. And he gave me a couple names that he wanted me to just call out for a moment. Now, this is a message about an imperfect people, an imperfect church with imperfect leaders led by the perfect shepherd. And his name is Jesus. To a people in the midst of hardship, under attack, this is the message of 1 Peter. A group of followers of Jesus scattered throughout the world that haven't been experiencing only success. They've also been in the midst of suffering and pressure. And it's a message in this part of the book is to the organized church. What is God saying to this group of people? And yes, it's specific to what he wants to say to the leaders, to the elders, the overseers, the pastors. But I think there's a message for all of us today. I got a few points I want to go through as we walk through 1 Peter chapter 5. The first one is, if he's referring to shepherds and God's flock, it must mean that we as God's people are sheep. You heard that before? I mean, it's often mentioned throughout scripture. Psalm 23, David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, therefore he's a sheep. I shall not be in want." Psalm 100, we are the sheep of his pasture. John chapter 10, Jesus says that he's the good shepherd and that we're the sheep. How do you feel about being called or referred to as a sheep? Anybody feel good about that? Okay, good participation from the DC crowd. Anybody not feel good about it? Why would you not feel good about it? Because sheep aren't the smartest animals. They're cute, they're fluffy, they're good for wool, but they're defenseless, they're feeble, they can't protect themselves. A guy wrote a book that had been a shepherd said they're helpless, timid, feeble creatures whose only tendency is to run. Congratulations, sheep. Don't you feel good about yourself today? Aren't you glad you came to church? No, they got mob mentality. So if one sheep takes off, they all take off. If a little jackrabbit comes into the flock, then everyone scatters for dear life. They've got some they eat grass, right? Sorry, just a little sheep lesson. They only eat grass, need some pasture, but the predators of the sheep are coyotes, wolves, foxes, bobcats, bears, dogs, mountain lions, eagles. I'm like, man, if a sheep gets taken out by an eagle, it's like getting pulled over by a cop on a bicycle, you know? This is one of my favorite videos of just what it's like to be a sheep and needing a little help. Check this out. Seen this before? Poor guy gets stuck in a ditch. unable to pull himself out, but thankfully for this guy, he gets out, he's free, he's alive, and then there we go. So my message to you, Passion City, D.C., is God sees you as a sheep. See yourself as a sheep. Oh, we got slow-mo going. But that's encouraging and discouraging. But left to our own devices, we are all capable of injuring ourselves, getting stuck in the thicket, being just separated from the flock, going our own way, not sure where we are or how we got there, on our back, unable to put ourselves up right. And it might not be the most encouraging thing, but left to our own devices, we all, like sheep, will go astray, is what the scripture says in Isaiah 53. And some of you are in that place. Some of you are like, no, not me, man. Brad, I'm good. I'll never do that. Well, that's going to come later when pride comes before the fall, right? But some of you, you're like, how did I get here? This is not who I want to be. It's not where I want to be. And some of it was intentional choices, and you've sabotaged your own life. And some of it was just like a slow wandering, and then you're just far off from where you want to be, where God wants you to be, where your family wants you to be. But there's hope for you. You are a sheep. I'm like a sheep. You're not a sheep, but we're like sheep, and we tend to act like them. But there is hope. No, number two thing that we can learn from this passage is that we're called to be a part of a flock, or we need a flock. And I don't know what your views are. I know you're here at church today. You're listening, and you're like, I don't know what your views are of the organized church, and whether you think you need to be in it, or you just have to be there, or that's what Christians do, they go to church. No, that God's gift to you is being a part of a community. You need a flock, and the flock needs you. In Ephesians chapter 2, the scripture says that we are now no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of his household. Or the scripture says he sets the lonely in families. And as Peter is writing this, he is assuming that believers in Jesus are a part of a community of faith. He wasn't writing, nor were most of the New Testament authors writing to individual Christians. They were writing to communities of faith. The Ephesians, the church at Ephesus, the Colossians, the church at Colossae, the Philippians, the church in Philippi. You and I, as a part of following Jesus, are placed or need to belong to a family that is called the church. And it's not a have to. Oh my gosh, you better do this or else. No, the church should be, in a community, should be God's gift to us. Imperfect as it is, God also knows we need people. In fact, like sheep, by ourselves, we're more vulnerable to attack, but as iron sharpens iron, so one man or woman sharpens the other, that we can protect each other, that we can together be stronger than we are apart, gives us this sense of belonging. And I don't know about you, but you see that belonging is a huge need in the human heart, that we've been created by God to belong to something bigger than ourselves. That's why people join book clubs. That's why people join CrossFit. I don't do CrossFit, but I watch CrossFit. And that was a joke you could have laughed right there. I'm in the middle of the CrossFit games this weekend, watching again, not participating. But I'm like, why are these men and women joining this gym to torture themselves? And it is to get fit, but it's also that community. My son, Caleb, this week, he broke his wrist. We were at a family camp, and we were gonna have the best week doing all kinds of activities, mainly spending some time in the lake, in the pool. He fell off his scooter, he broke his wrist, had to get a cast, which meant he couldn't be in the water. I took it harder than he did, but after a moment, he got pretty excited. Why'd he get excited? Because he was gonna get a cast. Why was he excited about the cast? So people would sign it. And it would be that sense of belonging. People notice me. People like me. They want to identify. He walked around with pride, showing the names of his friends. We're God's flock. The church needs each other. You need people, and people need you. And I know it's been so great about, you know, this opportunity to have online. If you're watching today, I'm so glad you're watching. But I also encourage all of us to find a community of faith called the church to be a part of, to belong to, because we need people and people need us. Like Ben, I went to Texas A&M. We got any Aggies in the house? Way louder yell than the 9:30. I appreciate that. I must confess, at A&M, I was at the time what people refer to as two percenters. Brennan was talking about the giving and it being a lower proportion of people, but I was a two percenter, and that was not a compliment, because what it inferred was 98% of the people were all in on the cult that is Texas A&M. If you know, you know, right? But we're proud. We do things a certain way. We have yells. We wear colors. We don't sit. We stand. We have, you know, I mean, it's just all this nuance to being an Aggie. Well, I appreciated the school. I just kind of wanted to be my own guy. So everybody wore maroon to the games. I wore white. You know, it still had an A&M logo. If everybody's doing the yells, or they go to midnight yell, 20,000 people, I would stay home. But I'm still proud. I just wasn't all in. And when I would leave games a little early, if it was a blowout, people would start yelling, 2%er, 2%er. So what I did on the way, I just held it up. I'm like, 2%er, I know. And some of us do that when it comes to the church, but it's honestly prideful, because it's walking around, I'm better than everybody. I don't need everybody. Church is imperfect, but I'm close to perfect, so I'm gonna do my own thing. The church is God's, I mean, he uses all kinds of things, but it's his main plan to show the world, to tell the world of how good and great, not we are, but he is. So why would we not give our all to be a part of how God wants to save the world through his son, through his church, right? It's the difference between consuming and contributing. And for me, I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but for me in my life, when I look back, when I was a consumer of the church is when I was growing the least in my faith in Jesus. And when I church hopped, when I bounced around, when I didn't plant, when I did not commit, it's when I wasn't growing as much spiritually. But when I committed and I was like, I want to contribute. I want to be a part. I want to be in community. I want to be on a team. I want to be a part of what God's doing. I want to show up at church when it's not just what am I going to get out of it, but God, what are you going to do? That's when church gets real good. Like it gets real good. When you are bringing a friend or one of your friends is bringing a friend and all of a sudden the text exchange starts going around like, hey, so-and-so's coming to church today, please pray for him. I'm like, anytime we're praying in a huddle before church and somebody says, hey, I got a friend coming and they've never been to church. I mean, just think about Cobb for the first time walking into church, that give you chills? And I'm like, oh, okay, we gotta get our game together, guys. It's somebody's first Sunday. Let's not mess up. Let's not be weird. Let's, make sure it doesn't go off the rails. Let's hope we're not talking about giving like we are today. Can I get an amen? No, I'm kidding. But this is the beauty of imperfect people being a part of an imperfect church led by imperfect leaders, but all pointing to the perfect shepherd. His name is Jesus. We act like sheep sometimes, but we're called to be a part of a flock. And we need each other. Other thing you see this in this passage, that the great shepherd has entrusted imperfect shepherds to lead his church. You see that this is advice. And I would just encourage you, if you're a leader of any sort, in a family, in a business, in an organization, great leadership advice. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. Notice Peter saying, it's not your flock. It's God's flock under your care. And for us at Passion City, from the very early on, this is what I learned from Pastor Louis, we would not say we were starting Passion City Church 14 years ago. We were planting a church because Jesus started the church. And we won't often say my church. We'll say his church under our care. Or this is his church that he's entrusted us to lead. It says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, not out of obligation, not because you have to. Nobody wants to follow those leaders, do they? It's my job. I better go lead the people today. No, because you want to, because you are willing as God wants you to be. We need to look for leaders. We need to be leaders that are eager and willing, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd or the great shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. God has chosen imperfect people to lead his church. Why? Well, people need leadership. Can I get an amen? Are you in any friend groups where y'all can never decide where to go eat? Like you're like, you take a poll for an hour and a half and you basically miss dinner and you were too late because nobody can like step up and say, hey, this is where we're going. Or if you, are you, worst is when you're like helping somebody move. Well, that's the worst in general. So can I get an amen there? But then no one's telling you what to do. So everyone's just standing around going, what goes next? No, we need leadership. And God has anointed, he's called, he's assigned, he's entrusted certain people, gifted certain people to lead his church. One of the reasons is because we all need examples. We look at the chief shepherd, the great shepherd, but it's good to have examples on earth that we can look at. For me, one of those men that was a great example to me was my youth pastor in high school. His name is John Butterfield. What a name, huh? John Butterfield, but he was an amazing man of God. He wasn't a youth pastor that was just trying to be everybody's best friend and letting us do whatever we wanted so we would accept him and think he was cool. No, he set a high standard. He called us up. We were in a discipleship group, and if we didn't commit to it and consistently show up, then we would miss out on certain privileges and opportunities. He wasn't begging us to come to something. He was calling us up. One trip we were going on, I was a little bit late because I overslept. And before I was able to get on the bus, he was like, why were you late? Did you go say bye to your girlfriend before you came here? And I knew if I would have said yes, which I didn't, by the way, he wouldn't have let me go on that trip. But he was calling me higher. And it was an example I could look to. When things got a little cloudier, I wasn't sure. I was so grateful to have an example. Do you have examples? Are you putting yourself around people that you can look to? A little family talk for a moment, and this is a little easier maybe for me to say here than in Atlanta, but like we humbly accept our assignment to put the best people in front of you, not because of their talent, but because their character, their heart, their integrity, to be examples to you. So if you call Passion City home, like just like me, I love getting to lead, but I also really grateful to be under leadership because I think the best leaders should be really good followers. And I've learned so much from Pastor Louie and Shelley, specifically when it comes to generosity. God has used them to change my view of what it's like to be generous. And I would tell you stories, but I wouldn't because they would be frustrated because that was done in anonymity. But we all need examples. We all need to seek advice. Ask people to speak into our situations. I've got a buddy here with me. Him and his guys are about a year ago, they were starting kind of a new ministry. Put me on a group text and said, hey, Pastor Brad, we're all a part of Passion City, and we're feeling like God's calling us to do this, but we want your blessing. And I'm like, no, man, that's a terrible idea. No, I was like, thank you. And they could have done it without me, but they gave me an opportunity to speak into it. Not because I was better than them, but because they just loved operating under leadership. That's what Peter's talking about. He said, pastors, shepherds, overseers, do things humbly, do things willingly, serve your people, be a good example, and then everybody be eager to be led. Be willing to be led. I feel like I've lost you there because you're like, I don't know, man. I need to be in charge. I need to tell people what to do. No, I think we all, and including shepherds, you need to be looking for a shepherd that you feel confident is under the great shepherd. Like I want to follow people that I know are following Jesus. Not just good at something, but actually in a relationship with Jesus. That's who I want to follow. The great shepherd the chief shepherd uses imperfect shepherds to lead his people. I do want to speak for a moment about disappointment, hurt, poor examples of leadership. I don't look over that. The message here is not follow blindly whatever human is leading you. And there are plenty of stories of disappointment, of hurt, of failure. And if that's been your story, I'm very sorry. I know for me, when I stepped into being, I never raised my hand, I want to be a pastor. It took a while for God to show that to me. But I think I probably, in my own flesh, thought I was going to be perfect. I never disappointed anybody. And then everybody would be like, oh, Brad. Always agreeing. That guy's, I thought I could please everybody. And in my sin and in my flesh, I quickly learned I don't need to be the chief shepherd. I can be an example to you, and I'm grateful for the opportunity and men and women that get to lead you. That's amazing, but don't look at me mainly. Look at Jesus. Don't look at Pastor Ben. Don't look at a pastor you see on TV. Look first at Jesus and let these men and women help you as examples. And then for all of us, I would encourage you to aspire to be a leader in God's house. Aspire to be an example. Because as the church grows and as Passion City grows, we need more leaders. We need more shepherds. And it's not, again, based on how good you are on a microphone. It's about the quality of the character and the heart. I ran a 5K one time, a long time ago. I thought y'all would clap for that. Guys, I ran a 5K. I finished it. I finished it. But I remember running that 5K. And the last little bit, I started getting so annoyed and then so inspired. Because as I was coming towards the finish line, there were men and women that had finished the race that were running in the opposite direction. I was like, show off. Quit rubbing it in. That's so prideful. But then I realized what they were doing. Maybe they were showing off, but outwardly what they were doing is they were running backwards to see who hadn't finished to say, keep going, keep going. You got this, you're almost there. You're just around the corner, you'll hit the finish line. And it just lifted morale. And this is what we're all called to be, right? You've heard it said, we all need a Paul in our life. Somebody over us that's encouraging us, speaking into us. We all need a Barnabas, like a brother or sister that sharpens us. And then we all need a Timothy, somebody to be pouring into. Aspire to that. Live a life worth being followed. It's one of the greatest, most fulfilling things of all of life. When you realize by God's grace, though you know and I know our sin, our shortcomings, our doubt, that somehow God would use me or you in our journey, and our wins and our losses and our highs and our lows to help people on their journey. I mean, Cobb, did he ever think when he kneeled down and put his faith in Jesus that God was gonna be using his story to encourage all of you? But as we advance in our faith, as we grow in maturity, God's gonna use us to shepherd God's people. Point number four, and we'll read it first. It says, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourself to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Don't you every once in a while just want to send that quote to somebody? Or, okay, just me, never mind. I'll keep going. Jesus's leaders, if you look at 1 Peter chapter 5, Jesus's leaders and Jesus's flock should be marked by humility. Jesus's people, Jesus's shepherds, the mark or the brand, right? I grew up in West Texas in cattle country. And most of the world's beef, or especially the United States, comes from like Kansas, Oklahoma, and then the panhandle of Texas. I remember going out and having to rope the cow and tie it up and get that rod really hot and put the brand of our ranch. Well, I never actually did any of that. It just sounded kind of cool to say. But I saw people do it, or I've seen it on TV shows, but cows get branded. Sheep get marked to identify them with their owner, with their shepherd. And the chief shepherd's sheep, Jesus's sheep, the good shepherd's sheep, should be branded, should be marked by humility. It says all of you, leaders, you, younger people, older people, new to faith, mature in the faith, all of you, clothe yourself with humility. Clothe yourself with putting others before you. Clothe yourself with having such a big view of God, yet getting God's glory, his goodness, his power, his love, his mercy in view. And when you get him in view, you just can't help but just bow down and go, wretched man that I am. Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips because my eyes have seen the King. And we humble ourselves and realize that God has picked us all up out of a pit. His arm was long enough and his arm was strong enough to save us and put us on solid ground. Not based on our own merit and doing, but based on his goodness and grace. And when we get God in view, and we even get ourselves in view, that we shouldn't be walking around all, I'm better than you. I got it all figured out. Putting our nose in the air to the rest of this world. Oh, you're struggling with that? Oh, you're dealing with that? Man, you're not going to church? You don't believe that? Or even within our community, it's just humility. All of you, clothe yourself. Put it on. Follow the example of the chief shepherd, the perfect shepherd. It says in Philippians chapter 2, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But he made himself nothing. He took on the form of a servant. He became obedient to death, even death on a cross. The perfect Son of God humbled himself, stepped out of divinity and into humanity for the sheep. So as his people, the sheep of his pasture, we should be marked by that same humility. That same love, that same putting one another above ourselves. And when we do that, we can move in power. We can move in effectiveness. We can move in love towards a hurting people around us, to a city that needs Jesus, to a bunch of wanderers that are looking for water and looking for safety. I am a Chicago Bears fan. It's kind of hard to admit that right now because we haven't won in like 25 years. But my dad and I would go to Chicago Bears games from Texas growing up. And the Bears games are good, but the tailgate's really good. But we were traveling, so we didn't live there. So we didn't have all the supplies. We didn't have our truck. We didn't have some cases like a school bus or like a RV decked out in the flags and painted. And then like the real good grills. So we'd buy this like foil tray and then put a little grate on it, cook some hot dogs, and we're like, okay, we're done with this. New tactic. We just start making loops through the tailgating scene and seeing if anybody would take some pity on us travelers from Texas. And we'd try to pick up conversation, but we'd specifically look for the good tailgates. You know what I'm saying? Not like the store-bought food that they just put out on a table, but who's over there that looks like they know what they're doing? They got the ribs going. They got the brats going. They got the baked beans. They got the spread. They got a little grilled shrimp going. We would just like hang around. Try to pick up conversation. Hey, guys, y'all, great spread. Looks awesome. What, we mentioned we're from Texas, man. We love to tailgate, but we just, we're Big Bear fans. We traveled up here and don't have our stuff and just hoping. Oh, you guys want some food? Oh, now that you think about it, yeah. But why wouldn't this be the church? And it is. I met a young lady today from Brazil named Gabby, and she just came up after the gathering with tears in her eyes. And she said, this place is what you were talking about. I came hurting. I came in need of community. And the way this community pulled me in and saw me and noticed me and accepted me, and she's like, I feel changed. Passion City, D.C., when we follow the lead of our chief shepherd and we see examples in our community of other shepherds and leaders of God's people, then we can walk in love and humility and have that brand on us, not the name of our church or just the name of our pastors or what conference we do. No, our brand is Jesus. He's the perfect shepherd. We're taking our cues from him, and then we're gonna walk into a lost and hurting world on mission to be a part of what he is doing. The great shepherd has a mission. He's invited us to be a part. We need to advance. The flock needs to advance in order to survive. I'll mention this as we close. We're also gonna go to John chapter 10. And then I'm gonna mention 8 other things. We'll close in about an hour and a half. So y'all hang with me. Simon Sinek. And leaders eat last. Again, remembering that this book of 1 Peter was written to a group of people that were under assault, under attack, pressure from the outside, just like many organizations and especially churches. But I think this applies so well. It isn't the dangers outside that we'll see to our demise. Those dangers are constant and will never go away. Ben's been doing a great job talking about that the last few weeks. Civilizations don't usually die from murder. To paraphrase the famous British historian Arnold Toynbee, civilizations die from suicide. It is increasing dangers inside our organizations that threaten us the most. And fortunately, those dangers are well within our control. Clothe yourselves with humility. God opposes the proud, but he gives favor and grace, his unmerited favor to the humble. God is blowing his wind of his Holy Spirit on those who are not all about themselves, but are humble, right? So there may be threats that come from the outside, but I believe the greatest danger to the success of the church is from within, and it's called pride. It's called selfishness. It's called me first. Because what does pride do? Pride repels, pushes people away. What does humility do? It attracts. People want to be around humble people, so you and I should move on mission in humility, because the chief shepherd, he's advancing. It says in Matthew chapter 28, it says, go, Go to the nations. Go and make disciples, baptizing people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So what is really above and beyond all about? It's us continuing to rally together as a people and following and embracing the mission of Jesus for our house to go. And we pray and we believe and we ask God where he's leading us. And then together we want to move. We want to move. And Jesus said in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. But don't miss verse 16. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. Jesus is on a mission. He said, I have other sheep. And they're not here right now, but I gotta go get them. This is the mission of the church. It is the message of above and beyond. It is, yes, let's grow in maturity, in stability, in the knowledge of God. But church should not be a country club for the saved. It's a place of hope and healing and freedom and salvation for the broken. In the hurting, Jesus has got other sheep. And you know how he's gonna get most of them? When his people, his flock, hear him say to you, go, go. You go, not just DC, not just Ben, not just Brad, not just Louis, not just Thomas, not just Brennan, not just Morgan, not just Bethany, you go. Because I put you in that workplace. I put you in that federal building. I put you in that school. I put you in that family. So you go. And I'm going to use you. You're not going to do the saving, because it says about Apollos and Peter that they were Apollos and Paul, they were servants through whom people believed. But it was God who does the saving. So there's people through you that are gonna get saved. I gotta close with this. I'm sorry I keep getting out of the light, but it just feels better to be close to you. Anybody have a map section in their Bible? Anybody looked at the map section lately? Okay, great participation. The map section, a few different maps, but one of them is Paul's missionary journeys. You also got Peter, you know, that was traveling around, but mainly staying in Jerusalem. But the story, the maps of where the missionaries went. Where's your map? Because Paul was just a servant. He was an apostle. Peter, fellow elder. That's one of my favorite things about humility. He didn't be like, when he was encouraging the shepherds and the elders, he didn't be like, hey, from the guy who led 3,000 to Christ on the first day of the church at Pentecost. He didn't say, oh, from the inner three, Mount of Transfiguration, remember that one? Who was there? Me. No, he said, fellow elder, just a part of the church. But he had a map section. Paul had a map section. I believe you have a map section. God wants to use you and send you to places, and through you, he wants to lead other people into the faith. Hear his sheep, hear his voice, and his voice is saying, go. Go. Go.
If you were encouraged by today's talk, be sure to rate us and hit subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcasts. To experience other talks, videos, and live gatherings, Visit us online at PassionCityChurch.com or download the Passion Movement app. And again, thanks for listening to the Passion City Church DC podcast.